Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur zweiten Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Bevor wir in das heutige Thema einsteigen, möchten wir die Gelegenheit nutzen, um uns bei euch zu bedanken. Wir haben uns sehr über die tolle Resonanz und das positive Feedback zu unserer ersten Podcast-Folge gefreut und sind jetzt natürlich gespannt darauf, wie euch diese Folge gefallen wird.
Heute dreht sich bei uns alles um eine Region in den Vereinigten Staaten, die viele von euch wahrscheinlich gar nicht auf dem Zettel haben, wenn es um das Ziel für euer Auslandssemester geht, nämlich den Mittleren Westen.
Genau, wir bekommen sehr viele Anfragen zu Kalifornien, zu Florida oder auch zu New York und der Ostküste insgesamt. Aber nur relativ wenige von euch fragen gezielt nach dem Mittleren Westen. Diejenigen, die sich dann aber letztendlich für eine unserer Partnerhochschulen im Mittleren Westen entscheiden, kommen in der Regel total begeistert zurück und würden ihre Erfahrung um nichts in der Welt mit anderen tauschen wollen.
Deswegen wollten wir uns den Mittleren Westen einmal genauer anschauen und haben uns zum Gespräch mit Anna Seidel-Grost von der University of Wisconsin-Madison verabredet. Bleibt also dran, wenn ihr wissen wollt, was Madison zu einem richtig guten Ort für euer Auslandssemester macht, welche Rolle der College-Sport an der UW-Madison spielt und warum ihr am besten gleich für ein ganzes Jahr im Mittleren Westen bleiben solltet. Hi Anna, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, let's start with the basics. What do we mean when we talk about the Midwest? What states are we looking at?
It's a great question. The Midwest is a region of the country that's comprised of about 10 or 11 states. So we are in the center of the country and we're near the Great Lakes area. So the states involved go from Ohio and Indiana out on the east to Michigan. We go to Missouri in the south, and Kansas, and then up through Nebraska and the Dakotas. And then in the center of that, you have Iowa and Minnesota, as well as Wisconsin, where I work.
You mentioned that you are located in the center of the U.S., and sometimes I know that the Midwest is referred to as the quote-unquote American heartland. Could you perhaps explain that term to us?
Of course, yeah. As with everything, there's some room for debate, but many consider it to be the broadest representation of American culture. People are generally thought of in the Midwest as being down to earth and friendly. We're made up of both large, diverse cities, such as Chicago, which is the third largest city in the country, as well as Minneapolis. And then we are also made up of small towns and farming communities. So broadly speaking, we're home to the nation's manufacturing and farmlands, but there's a lot more there as well.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Madison. What's Madison like for those who haven't heard about the city yet?
It's a young, dynamic, and capital city. So we're the capital of the state of Wisconsin, and we have a really unique geography to our city. We're situated on an isthmus, which is a strip of land between two lakes. These aren't the Great Lakes. They're smaller ones that you can swim and boat and fish in. The geography actually forced the construction of Madison to be relatively condensed, which is a really unique feature of our city. So what that means is you have the Capitol building for the state, the downtown area with clubs and restaurants and museums and other sorts of shops, the pedestrian street that connects that area to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then all of the campus housing and student housing is right there. So that forced consolidation really does create this fantastic, dynamic, fun, lively, and really walkable, bikeable city and a great place to live.
How big is Madison?
Madison is a mid-sized city, so we're about 255,000 residents. So big, but not too big. And some students are really looking for that experience. For some students, the idea of going to a massive metropolitan area is a bit scary. So having a mid-sized city where you can really experience a diversity of options, but it's not quite so big that it feels overwhelming, can be a really good fit for some students. And due to the geography of the area, students really leave Madison at the end of their studies feeling like they truly know the place and that it's home.
You've actually already answered my next question, because I was going to ask you why students should consider Madison as a study abroad destination. But maybe looking at it more broadly, why should students consider the Midwest rather than going to, let's say, California, Florida, or the East Coast?
I think it's a really great option for students who are looking for something different. We know many students know the U.S. through their experiences in film and TV, and so they're most familiar with those coasts. But the U.S. is massive, and so there's so much more out there that for the students to experience. And I really think that they should consider trying something a bit different from what maybe all of their friends are trying. Given the central location of Wisconsin in particular, but the Midwest in general, and Madison's proximity to the third largest airport in the country, students can really visit everywhere in the U.S. from that central location. So that's a really nice feature as well. But I mean, broadly speaking, the people are friendly. The cost of living is much, much lower than on the coasts. There's fantastic architecture and art, music, food, gorgeous parks and nature preserves and trails, all mixed with these world-class educational opportunities that's really unmatched and tough to find in any other place in the U.S. And since the Midwest isn't quite as well known yet with international students seeking a study abroad destination, it's an opportunity to kind of pick your own path and really immerse yourself in the experience instead of maybe going to a program where you end up hanging out with a bunch of people you knew from home in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a great segue into our next topic. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the university itself. How would you describe UW-Madison to international students who might not have heard of it before?
UW-Madison is a traditional American college university. So we've heard again and again that when international students close their eyes and picture what is it like to study in the U.S., what they're picturing is a campus just like ours. There's a reason that UW-Madison is used as the setting in lots of movies and TV shows. You know, we're a large flagship university with beautiful old buildings, campus greens, a mostly residential student body that's made up of about 45,000 students and 6,000 international students. Our students have sky-high school spirit, and they're really proud to call themselves Badgers. We're known as a top college sports town and a little bit of a party school as well, although I don't tend to talk about that in our promotions. And our academics are top notch. We're highly ranked in countless areas on the national and global scene. We're a research powerhouse. And one really unique thing about our campus is that we involve students at all levels in that research. And that's a really fantastic thing where if a student in our program is interested, they could actually join a research project while they're here.
You mentioned strong academics. Many of our students know the term Ivy League that refers to the top private universities in the U.S. And UW-Madison is often considered to be a so-called public Ivy. What does that mean?
Right. So an Ivy League educational experience at a public school price. So public Ivies like us are usually at a larger university with high rankings and still quite competitive admissions criteria. Because of our size, we actually tend to offer a wider range of subjects and areas.
Talking about subject areas, what are subjects that you would consider to be particularly strong at UW-Madison?
So many. Oh, it's hard to list them, but we're certainly known as having fantastic engineering programs, top business school, computer science, social sciences, and the humanities. So lots.
Sounds good. But we also know that subjects and classes are not all that matters when it comes to a semester abroad. Many of the students we work with choose the U.S. for their study abroad adventure because they want to have a true college experience. Will students find good student life at UW-Madison?
Absolutely. Yeah, the UW student life is vibrant. Because of the vast majority of our students live on or right next to campus, there's so much going on all the time. We have about 1,000 student organizations at any given time on just about every topic, from something purely academic to really fun and social. There's a movie theater on campus. There are plays that come, art, music. There's fantastic speakers that come to campus that students can go in and listen to if they're interested. And then sports, of course. Our student union sits right on a gorgeous lake. So students could even learn to sail a boat or try stand-up paddleboarding or something if they're like, while they're here. We've got a brand new state-of-the-art gym that was just opened last year. So they'll be able to keep up with their favorite activities or try something new, like maybe rock climbing on our rock climbing wall. And really, there's nothing like game day here on campus. Even for students who aren't particularly sports fans, it's really not just about the game. It's an infectious, fun time of just cheering on the Badgers with 80,000 of your closest friends.
I think US college sports is something that has become really popular for people to watch, even in Germany over the last couple of years. I know I'm very interested in it, but so are a lot of our students. UW-Madison is part of the so-called Big Ten Conference, which is one of the oldest college sports leagues in the US. So I know a lot of teams of UW-Madison are performing on a very high level. Which teams are particularly successful and would you consider worth watching for students?
Yeah, I mean, our sporting fans really go all out. They attend all sorts of sporting events. So it's really fun to go with a bunch of friends on a weeknight just to go see and cheer on the Badgers, even for a sport maybe you're not as familiar with. American football, it tends to be the largest draw in terms of fans. So that's where you'll see 80,000 people crowding into Camp Randall, our football stadium, which is beautiful, a nice open air stadium. So you can experience the fantastic autumn, warm weather and sunshine. We're top five in men's hockey in the country, number one in women's hockey, which I always like to point out. We have great wrestling, but there's just so many sports to watch and cheer for that it's really a fun thing. And students get discounted or almost free tickets to a lot of these things. Not exactly football. That one's harder to, a little harder to get anyway. But yeah, we're just really a sports happy college campus.
What about students who don't want to just watch sports, but who want to get involved themselves? Do you have intramural leagues? Do you have opportunities for students beyond just working out in the rec center?
Absolutely. Yeah, great question. We have both intramural leagues as well as club sports. So it depends on how competitive you'd like to get and how committed you are to playing every week. So you could do something like club sports if you're really into it and you want to try out for a game, or if you just wanted to create your own team of disc golf fans, you'd be able to do that through the intramural program as well.
Fantastic. So we already talked a little bit about students wanting to come for a semester. At UW-Madison, the program that they would apply for is the so-called Visiting International Student Program, or VISP, I think, as you abbreviated, and which is also the program that you're responsible for and where you're doing a great job advising our students and other students. Can you tell us a little bit about VISP? Who can apply and what does the program include?
Yeah, the VISP program is fantastic. We just turned 9 years old, as a matter of fact. And this program is for students who are interested in coming for a semester, as you mentioned. It's open to both students at the grad and undergrad level, and they can really pick their academic area of interests. They receive personalized advising from our team. They really get to enjoy all the benefits of being a full degree student at this university. So it's a great option for students who are interested in really trying out what it's like to be a student on a campus like ours.
Do students have to be enrolled at university, or could they also apply straight out of high school if they want to, for example, do a gap year before starting university here?
Great question. We do have a pilot gap year program. It's not mentioned on our website, but with a few partners like you, we do allow students at the gap year level because we want to make sure that it's a really good, successful experience for the student. I personally will work with a student carefully, reach out to them frequently, and really make sure that they have the support that they need. So we're purposely keeping it quite small right now. And that's why you don't see it listed on our website necessarily. But absolutely, if a student is really passionate and wanting to try out their first semester at UW-Madison, we'd be welcome to have them.
That's great to hear. The reason I was asking that is that I was thinking UW-Madison would be a perfect choice for a gap year student because it's the typical college experience, as you mentioned. It's campus-based, and it offers so many different subject areas that students for coming for a gap year can really just try out different classes, get a better understanding of life as a university student, getting also a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be a university student in the US, and then decide whether they might want to apply for a full bachelor's degree in the US or return home with a better idea in mind of what they want to study back home.
Interesting. Yeah, let's talk perhaps a little bit more about transitioning into university life at UW-Madison and a little bit about the first couple of days, what it's like to arrive on campus. Is there an orientation for VIP students, and are there perhaps even other activities to help students to get to know the university and make friends?
There are orientations that we offer every semester. We encourage students to arrive a few days early just to be able to take care of some administrative things, go get their campus ID card, and just go on a campus tour and get a chance to see where they're going to be studying the next few months. Our orientation takes place usually on a Friday, and then they have the weekend to go on and meet friends. We have optional activities that students can join in on if they're interested. And classes usually begin on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Also, campus offers welcome week activities after the students arrive. So there's things going on and all sorts of student organizations and campus offices that are welcoming students to campus and showcasing the available events and services that they'll have for the rest of the semester.
Great. Are there any other activities happening throughout the semester then?
Countless. Yeah, our VIST program actually offers unique opportunities for our students only. Every month we have at least one, but often more than that. Sometimes it's a big event, like we might go to a water park, we might take students to a Badger football game or another sporting event. And sometimes there are smaller events. Maybe we'll meet students at a local restaurant and order food so that they can taste a unique Madison delight. So there's things that we offer just for our students. But in addition to that, I mean, there's so much happening on campus. Just walking around, students will see advertisements for great events going on. So it's really hard to go a single day at UW-Madison without seeing ads for 10 or 15 different events happening.
I mentioned before that courses and classes are not everything, but they are no doubt important. So our students typically want to transfer the credits from their semester abroad to their degree program at home, which means that they often have to meet certain requirements with regard to the courses that they can take. How does the class registration process work for VIST students, and how can you and your team assist students who are worried they might not be able to get into their preferred classes? Because that can happen, of course.
Of course, yeah. This is a huge consideration for students, and it's actually one of our program's biggest strengths. Our program is somewhat unique in that students are enrolling in classes before they buy their plane ticket. So our fall semester students start enrolling in April, and our spring semester students start enrolling in November. So that process begins at their enrollment time, and they can continue to add, drop, and swap classes through the end of their second week of class. So we encourage students to try things out and really broaden their experience by applying to lots and lots of different classes. But of course, we understand that some students have a strict schedule they have to follow, and they really have a few classes that they absolutely need. So that's a huge plus for our students because they can go ahead and try to enroll in those classes. If ultimately it's not a good fit and they aren't able to get those classes, they can drop out of the program and there's no fees whatsoever. So we don't have an application fee and tuition isn't due until after they arrive at the end of the ad drop period. So there's no harm in trying just to see what kinds of classes that they're able to get.
That's good to know. But I think that given the vast number of courses on offer every semester, students that have a little bit of flexibility will be able to build a schedule that not only satisfies the requirements of their home university, but that also meets their own interests.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this fall we have over 5,500 courses offered. So okay. There's a tremendous number of courses that they can choose from. And I'll say in the 9 years our program has existed, I can maybe count on one hand the number of students who ended up canceling their participation because they couldn't get a schedule that worked for them. So it's exceedingly rare given the wide variety of courses we have on offer. So really, yes, it's helpful to be flexible in your course offerings and what you're interested in, but we understand that sometimes students really need to take a specific course and there's no harm in them in trying that and seeing if they can get what they need.
That sounds like a real benefit of the program and a benefit of the advising process. And I know talking to students and also talking to our advisors that they also always talk very highly of the effort that you put in trying to build the best schedule for the students and also prepare them in the best possible way before they come. So thank you for that. There is one more question I have about the program, and that is the tracks, because I know that you offer two separate tracks within the VIST program, the traditional track and the thematic track. What is the difference between the two and which program is a good fit for whom?
So our thematic track programs are for students who want to focus exclusively on that academic area. So we've had academic departments come to us actively seeking VISP students. And so we have a curated list of opportunities that students can apply for. And it's not always a match. We have about 10 to 15 different thematic track offerings in a given semester. So if the student is really interested in political science, mechanical engineering, mathematics, those sorts of things, they could apply to be in one of those special tracks. The thematic track offerings have a benefit of having guaranteed full-time enrollment in that department, as well as personalized advising from that department in addition to the VISP staff. Now, sometimes students want to take courses from more than one department. Perhaps they want to take some business and economics, or also maybe their major isn't offered in our thematic track offerings. In that case, the traditional track program would be the best fit for them. In the traditional track, students can really pick and choose from the wide variety of our 230-some academic areas and customize the schedule that's right for them. And then additionally, if a student really is interested in focusing on perhaps one academic area, they can do that as well. It's just if there is a thematic track in that department, that's going to be the best fit for the student. But otherwise, the traditional track is a great option. You don't get the one-on-one advising from the department, but you get to work with our VISP staff like me, and we can help you as best as we can.
That sounds great. So one question we get asked a lot, and that's obviously very important to some students as well, do you offer any scholarship opportunities?
We do, yeah. For all College Contact advisees that we see, we offer an automatic scholarship. For graduate level students, it's $3,000 for enrollments of 8 credits to 11. And then for undergraduate level students and for grads who choose to take more, so 12 to 18 credits, they get an automatic $5,000 scholarship. So there's no application process. It's automatically applied to their account.
Oh, wow. Yeah, these are definitely good opportunities to take advantage of. As you may know, our podcast is called Beste Zeit, which means time of your life in English. We've chosen that title because for us and for many of our students, their study abroad experience has been the time of their lives. What kind of students do you think would have the time of their lives at UW-Madison?
God, we hear that all the time from our students. I think most students end up having the time of their lives on our campus. It's just the combination of the top tier academics with the supportive learning environment and the great student life opportunities that just make our program a really great fit for so many students.
Awesome. If you've listened to our first podcast episode with Jenny from Berkeley, you'll have noticed that we had a special feature at the end of the episode, our so-called quick question round, which we would, of course, want to do with you as well. We'll ask you three short questions that we would like you to answer spontaneously and quickly. Are you up for it?
Oh, absolutely. I'll do my best.
All right. First question. What's one campus activity that VISP students at UW-Madison absolutely shouldn't miss?
That's so tough. I think it would have to be the terrace. So behind our Memorial Union sits the beautiful lake that I was telling you about. And there is essentially like this backyard for all of Madison there. There's chairs out, there's sunshine. You can watch a beautiful sunset, listen to live music, eat ice cream that's made on campus, or maybe drink a local beer and study. Just sort of enjoy yourself. It's the place to be in Madison. It's a really fantastic experience. So when the weather's nice, the terrace is full.
It is so funny because Elias and I talked about this earlier, and I was so sure you were going to mention the snowball fight.
You know, the snowball fight's a big one, but not everyone is here. It's usually in the spring semester. And so, but it depends. It depends on when we get a good snowball snow. You know, sometimes our fall semester students aren't seeing snow until December. And sometimes it's just too late for them to have it, and it gets kicked to spring semester. So yeah. Snowball fight is fun though. That's a good one.
Which actually leads me to my second quick question, which is, do you have any survival tips for winter in Wisconsin? Because it can get pretty cold and snowy, right?
It can, but we like to say we have four distinct seasons, which is just like Germany. And, you know, there's a reason that so many Germans ended up settling in Wisconsin, hundreds of years ago. The climate is relatively similar. Our winters are a little longer, but not by much. It's springtime now in Madison, and, you know, the weather's getting beautiful out. So in terms of survival, I'd say really the coldest time of year is when the students aren't there. So our fall students, again, as they're leaving, that's usually when the first snowfall is happening and it's just starting to really be winter just before Christmas. And then by the time our students for spring are arriving, the coldest part of the winter is just about ending. So we always joke that spring orientation is often on the coldest day of the year, which I always feel bad about. But then from there on out, it starts getting nicer. It's a little gray in February. But, you know, one thing about people from Wisconsin is we get out there and enjoy it. So there's not a time of year where we're not outside enjoying outdoor activities. If it's cross-country skiing or hiking or snowshoeing in the wintertime to learning to sail a boat in the summertime on our beautiful lakes. So we really make the most of it, and we really enjoy things. Although the students are absolutely going to hear everyone in Madison say that summer is the best time to meet in Madison. So the fall students have it the best, I think, because when they arrive, it is hot. It's usually one of the hottest days of the year in that fall orientation, and that often catches students by surprise. So they get the beautiful weather when they arrive. The spring students get the beautiful weather as they're leaving. So you really get to experience a lot while you're on our campus.
I think that's a big debate that we're always having, is whether kind of the fall semester or the spring semester is better in terms of weather, in terms of climate and things like that. And I always think there's really two sides to it. I mean, as you say, the weather is really nice when students arrive in August, and then you have a beautiful fall. But then, of course, you have November. And I think November, if as you say, the climate is anything like Germany, November is the month where it rains a lot and it can get a little kind of gray. And then you start to slowly kind of build up to Christmas and you see the decorations and everything and it starts being really cozy and nice. So I think that's kind of one side of it. And with spring, I always feel like, yes, it's cold in the beginning and it may take a while. But I mean, we're going through it now. The first really nice days, the first days of sunshine, the first days of temperatures going up to, let's say, I don't know, 15 to 20 degrees Celsius. That's when people start kind of dressing in t-shirts and shorts here because they are so desperate for kind of the summer to arrive. And I think there's something really nice about spring starting and about everything being in full bloom and all of that. So, and they're all building up to the summer. And of course, students coming in the spring, because they can stay on for some time after the end of their semester, they can really enjoy kind of June time in Wisconsin and in the US. So that's a really nice time for them to then travel as well. So
absolutely. And that first flower you see blooming in the springtime is just magic. It's electric. But I think if you're asked the question of which is better to come fall or spring semester, I think the right answer is an academic year, because then you get to see the full cycle.
Well, that would be perfect, of course.
So final question, what is a typical Midwestern term or expression that students will pick up when they study at UW-Madison?
Ooh, I mean, we're such a diverse campus in terms of our student body. I mean, we have students from all 50 states and, you know, usually over 100 countries. So it's a diverse campus body. So they might pick up things from all over the country, as a matter of fact. I think one absolutely quintessential Midwestern thing they will experience is Midwesterners love talking about the weather. That is okay. So common.
As we just did, yeah.
As we just did, because the weather is changing all the time. And you might have, we had this a few weeks ago where it was, I believe in Celsius, it was about 20 degrees. It was beautiful and warm and the sun was shining and the flowers were blooming. And then we had snow. And then the snow melted. And it just happens in the course of a week. You feel like you experience four seasons. And so that's a really common opener. And it seems silly and pedantic, but what's nice is for students who are maybe a bit more on the nervous side about making friends or a bit more nervous about their English level, although in Germany, I'm not concerned with any of your students, but that can be a really good way to start conversations with your classmates because everybody talks about the weather all the time. And so it's a low pressure, easy way to start a conversation and start making a friend. It's just, oh my gosh, it's so hot out today. I can't believe it. I wasn't prepared for this. That it can be a great opener to be able to start a huge conversation with someone because talking about the weather is a constant thing. And it's, you know, just enjoying everything that we have here. It's, the weather can be beautiful and great and the weather can be a bit less great. So it depends. But yeah, the weather.
Okay. I think this is really good advice. And I think it's also a really good way for us to wrap up this episode. Time flies when you're having fun. We're already done. So we're going to let you go soon.
That went so fast.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. Yeah. So we would like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about not only UW-Madison and the VISP program, but also about the Midwest in general. And I hope that our students have gotten a good impression of what a semester abroad in the Midwest could be like. I don't know. Elias, do you have any final questions or any insights?
Yeah, not really. But I would also, of course, like to thank you for coming on and talking a little bit about Wisconsin, about Madison and the university. And yeah, I had a lot of fun and I think I learned a lot of interesting things for sure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was such a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your students.
You're welcome. I really hope that we can convince a couple more students to consider UW-Madison for their study abroad experience. I know we have a couple of students lined up for the fall, and I'm sure they will not only enjoy listening to this episode, because then they will know how to start a conversation with their new classmates when they arrive, but also have a fantastic time while they are in Madison. So thanks again. Have a great rest of your day. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye, Anna. Bye.
Wenn ihr mehr über die UW-Madison und das Visiting International Student Program wissen möchtet, findet ihr in den Shownotes zu dieser Folge einen Link zum Profil der Hochschule auf unserer Website. Dort haben wir euch auch einen Artikel zu den Vorzügen des Mittleren Westens und ein Interview mit Anja verlinkt. Anja hat ein ganzes Jahr an der UW-Madison verbracht und uns viel über das Studentenleben im Mittleren Westen erzählt.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes natürlich auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Meldet euch gern bei uns, wenn ihr euch zur UW-Madison oder auch generell zum Auslandsstudium beraten lassen möchtet. Wie ihr vielleicht schon wisst, ist unser Service für euch komplett kostenlos, weil wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge unseres Podcasts, die im Mai erscheinen wird, verlassen wir den nordamerikanischen Kontinent und wenden unseren Blick nach Asien, genauer gesagt nach Singapur. Und, so viel sei schon verraten, es wird tropisch heiß und futuristisch.
Also, am besten abonniert ihr unseren Podcast einfach direkt, um gleich beim Erscheinen der nächsten Folge informiert zu werden und nichts zu verpassen. Bis dahin, habt eine gute Zeit.